Hello friends, I'm continuing with the chapters in performance management system and reward system. This is chapter number 3, a very detailed chapter in which we are connecting performance appraisal and performance management system. Before I continue, I would like to remind you again that performance management system is a comprehensive, all-encompassing process for the organization. One of the key indicators, one of the things which we follow for understanding performance of an individual is performance appraisal, an age-old process which all of us go through when we are working, right? So performance appraisal is that particular set of processes which involves how the employee has progressed in his work, how the deliverables have happened or not happened, right? Now, this is a very old system which is being followed by many companies. But let us not mistake, performance appraisal is the same as performance management system. One is a macro performance management system in which one of the tools, one of the approaches used is performance appraisal system. So this chapter is a very detailed chapter which is covering a lot about performance appraisal principally, right? So let's go along and see how it operates. The learning objective of the chapter is to gain an understanding of the latest methods deployed by corporate India and MNCs for performance management and performance appraisal. What are the latest state of art practices we are going through, right? Understand the key alternatives to the traditional annual performance review cycle. Every year we have an annual performance review cycle, which is a part of performance appraisal, how it is being reviewed again for better practices. And are there any alternatives to that? Gain an understanding of the areas where technology can be leveraged for performance management and appraisal systems. Today, it's very common. Performance management system, performance appraisal is online, and there are a lot of, IT-enabled type of solutions available, right? Further, the learning objectives would be gain an insight, gain an understanding into the continuous performance review and appraisal process, get to know it in a detail. Get an insight into new appraisal systems implemented by India and corporate and MNCs. I would not say India on corporate MNCs, any company for that matter, right? Now we go to the structure and contents of the chapter. It starts with ways and methods to measure the employee performance, managing performance failure and initiating improvement measures, performance appraisal process, alternatives to annual performance review, shift at leading multinationals from annual performance review to more frequent feedback, use of technology in performance appraisal. Okay. Round-the-clock performance review. Key aspects of continuous performance evaluation. Insight into new appraisal system implemented by India, Incorporate and MNCs. The author has taken this popular term. He keeps on repeating it. India, Incorporated and MNCs. It's for any company for that matter. Okay. Let's start off by talking about methods and ways to measure performance, key questions for management. Certain key questions we need to start off. 3 trigger questions have been given by the author, so we are just repeating it here. First is, how do you assess their performance levels? How do you assess their performance levels? Now, when you say assess means, how am I trying to determine this performance is up to the mark or not up to the mark? It's a very broad question in which there are further questions coming up, right? Second question is, do they understand organization's goals and expectations? In a performance management system, do they understand what the company actually wants? It's not just intangibles, it is the tangibles also. A lot of detailed conversations have to happen at different levels to arrive at what the company actually wants. Many a time, what the employee thinks the company wants is far removed from what the company actually wants. There is usually a communication gap. Now, this communication gap has to be first and foremost addressed in a very, very, very committed manner. Because if the top management is expecting something and they put it in a wording which is not understood by the middle management starts interpreting that wording in their own way, they further give it down to the operational level people, then there is bound to be chaos. The top floor doesn't know what the ground floor is doing. This is a very common issue which I come across in my training assignments with many companies. Top management says something, the bottom people do not know what's going on and everything is garbled. like the Chinese whispers. The third thing is, are they meeting their personal objectives? Are the employees working the company meeting their personal objectives? Let's face it, nobody works for the company alone. Nobody works only for themselves. They work for both. Organization goals as well as personal goals. Organization objectives as well as personal objectives. PMS, this question has to be asked. At the end of the day, are you happy with the job? This indirect way of saying, are my personal objectives being fulfilled? I'm taking this particular video lecture. Is my personal objective being fulfilled? Am I enjoying taking it? You know it better when you see me taking it, right? If my personal objective is taken care of, then the PMS system in that we are fitting in very well. Okay. Taking it further, performance appraisal process. Now, this is the performance appraisal process which is taken from the HRM book. I'm reading through the whole thing. I'm assuming that all of you know HRM because you've already done it in semester one. At the same time, I'll touch upon some of this. I won't go into the details of it, right? Because this whole book is based on PMS, Performance Management System, not an HR. So HR is understood, but I'll touch upon it. Okay. So that's how I'm going to take the rest part of the slides, because predominantly the slides have been focusing on the detailed part of performance appraisal, which has already been covered, right? Establish performance standards, communicate the standards, measure the actual performance, compare actual performance with standards and discuss appraisal and take corrective action. If you remember, this is also coming in another book, another subject called Principles of Management in the topic on controlling. It's a cyclical thing. We set a standard, we perform, and when we perform, we get a certain results. Between the results and the standard, there's always a gap. It could be positive or negative. Then what we do is we take corrective action and we give a feedback so that things are different in the next cycle. So this is a cyclical process, by the way. When the corrective action is taken, I'll come out with a new performance standard and then I'll be communicating the new standards and so on and so forth it will go. This is already covered in HRM. Please refer to the HRM book. Right? Now, requirements for an effective appraisal system. If an appraisal system has to do its job properly, if it has to be effective, there are certain points which we need to consider. Validity and reliability. Whatever we are doing as appraisal needs to be valid. It should be something which is understandable. It should be in relevant times and it should be reliable. So it is like conducting a personality test, which is usually designed by clinical psychologists, right? Now, I cannot conduct a personality test based on an experience alone. I need to know the human mind. I need to be a clinical psychologist. Similarly, if a performance appraisal system has to be created by anybody, that person needs to know how the performance appraisal system has to be passing the validity test as well as the reliability test. It can't be just any form in which I ask any questions, because the performance appraisal is a process in which the employee is emotionally involved. It involves his reward punishment. It involves the way he is looked at. It involves his self-esteem. So many factors are taken into account. So this validity and reliability is very important to see that the performance appraisal is properly designed. Next is, it should be related to the job. It should be related to the job that he or she is holding. Third is standardization. There is something called a standard unit of work which you need to do at that level. Let us say that you are manufacturing some goods. You are a part of the production center. In the production shop floor, you are supposed to be manufacturing. At that particular point, you are supposed to be coming out with the output of, say, 100 units per hour. That's a standard. Now, what I'll do is I'll measure your performance based on 100 units. An average human being, these standards are created, an average human being can produce 100 units in this particular time with a comfortable production. He won't get worn and he won't go into wear and tear. Neither he'll be laid back. He'll be doing a proper diligent job. This is coming after a lot of time and motion studies. A standard is set 100 units. Now, always performance is based on this standard of 100 units. Have you done standard more or less? On that basis, standardization is important. I can't appraise you unless and until there's a standard set by me. So you can't appraise in hawa mein baat nahi kar sakte. You have to be very, very clear that this is a way you have to come. I'm comparing you with the standard which is set. Sometimes the standard that you set may be unrealistic. How will you know it is unrealistic? You'll come across number of people down the line not being able to achieve the standard. Not one or two, hundreds of them. The HR department, the appraisal designer should know that this is unrealistic. With the existing resources available, he or she must relook into the standards he has set. This unfortunately doesn't happen in many scenarios in my experience as a consultant for many companies. I tell them, these standards are very good. It is good to reach the sky. But if you're going to compare somebody by about reaching the sky, it is impossible. So put it in a manner in which there is a push. At the same time, it is not unachievable. So when you set a standard, you have to take this into consideration. I've already spoken about this in the HRM video in chapter number in the first semester, but I'm repeating it here. There should be legal sanction. Whatever appraisal I'm doing should be legitimate. It should be within the confines of the job function which you're holding. Every job function which you and I are holding is having a certain legitimacy of authority, responsibility and accountability. It's about the legitimacy of accountability, responsibility and authority, right? That is a very important thing to be taken into account. Next comes the training the appraiser. The appraiser is a person who actually takes the appraisal for you. Now this appraiser can be your own boss to whom you're reporting every day, or it could be somebody else. Why somebody else? Company appoints, says somebody else to take, because it is considered to be neutral. But there are plus points as well as minus points. The appraiser, who is not a person to whom you are reporting every day, may assess you based on some written matter given to him and some hearsay told to him verbally by your boss. Quite possible. He may have his bias towards you or against you, personal bias. And when he assesses you, he may not get a complete picture about who you are. So, the purpose is to make it neutral, but usually you land up becoming subjectively giving, and so the appraisee, the person who's getting appraised, starts feeling let down. So, we have to train this appraiser, who's an outsider, who's not your own boss, into telling him what needs to be trained. In my experience as a trainer, in my experience as an HR consultant, I would always say that, let the appraisal be done by your immediate reporting boss, because the bias is minimum and realistic things are given to you, and it's not something out of the world. Okay, this is my view, right? Then we talk about open communication, very important. You can't be talking jargon, you can't be talking, you know, something in riddles, and you've got to be straight to the point. If a person has not performed, say that in so many words, informally, so that he understands what you're talking, not implied. It can't be assumed. If I use words like, there's a scope for you to improve, and the fellow keeps quiet, he doesn't know what he said, okay, nod his head, then what am I doing? I'm putting a language which he seems to accept it passively. Suppose I say, there's a scope for improvement, and he doesn't answer. What am I supposed to ask him? Have you understood what do you mean by scope for improvement? Because it's a vague term. What is improvement? Which part of the working he has to improve? Then if he doesn't have, then I have to tell him, look, I want improvement in this area specifically. Now this is open communication. This doesn't happen. I'm telling you scope for improvement and you nod your head and you go back, and then again the whole thing starts getting screwed up. So in an open communication, one is specific, one calibrates, and one also manages and gives a feedback. I'm candid when I tell you, look, I want scope for improvement in this area. And make the other person also loosen up and talk, so that the appraisee doesn't feel that he's being victimized. Because one of the common things which people come and tell me is, after appraisal, they feel they are victimized. They feel they have been let down. They feel that they have been given a raw deal. To ensure that that doesn't happen, open communication is very, very important. And open communication has got one of the foundations is trust. When you communicate something to your appraisee, inspire trust. That person should believe what you're saying. It can't be manipulative. Appraisals go for a toss because people are manipulative unknowingly sometimes. Sometimes knowingly. Right? Employee access to results. The employee who is being appraised should be able to see the results of his appraisal. In many companies, they don't show it. It is all subjective. Yeah, you've done well, but it's a company policy not to show you. But believe me, this is what it is. I think the employee needs to have access to his own results about how well he has done, how not well he has done. It's very important. Due process, it's a process that needs to be done diligently. Due process means there is a time element every 6 months, every year, every 3 months. Once it is promised, it has to be done as per the HR policy of the company. I know companies who are having policies of appraisal to be done every year, every 6 months. Appraisals don't take place. Increments take place. Promotions take place. No appraisal, nothing. Some form is filled up and put it in the file. Sorry, that is not a proper way of doing it. Right? This puts everybody in a suspense. How well am I doing? I do not know. People erroneously believe when they get a promotion, erroneously they believe when they get an increment that they have done well. The reason why they have got a promotion or the reason why they got an increment may not be because they have done well. There could be some other reasons. Now, this is not a good culture. So, any one of you listening to me is not getting a regular appraisal which you are entitled to, then ask for it. Good companies, good brands ensure that the due process is carried out very well. Okay? Taking it further, the objective of a performance appraisal. What is the objective? Why are we doing it? To help the employee to overcome weaknesses, improve strengths for desired performance. I am giving a feedback to you. This is what you have done. This is what the scope for improvement. Sachin, you need to do this. Sachin, these are things you have not done. I would like you to do this. It is more a feedback. It's more a feedback. Not pointing fingers at him. Not a blame game. Not a blame game. So, I have to create that space. Sachin should not feel that I have pointed out fingers at him, because when people feel after doing a good job or not so good job, people are emotional when you point fingers at them. So tell him, look, Sachin, overall has been good, but these are areas where I wanted to improve. Before doing that, there should be trust established between Sachin and me. It's very important. Once that is done, this becomes easy for me to convey to Sachin. Weaknesses and strengths. Feedback and guidance by immediate superior. If I'm the immediate superior, I give feedback and guidance. If the appraiser is the third party, then he tells the superior and he gives the feedback and guidance, right? To help employees to set realistic goals. Now, Sachin may set a goal of 100 units per hour. It's unrealistic. By the process which we have set, 100 units cannot be achieved. Sir, I'll do it. Sorry, it should be done realistic in line with the process. Whenever we say realistic goals, it is in line with the process which is already set. Every person is achieving a maximum of 70 or 60 or 80, max to max. This guy comes and says, I'll make 100. And some stupid company, sorry to say this, he's making more than, hello, keep making it and he'll make 100. And whenever you do something outside the process flow, you will always make an error of quantity and quality, both. Today he may perform 100, but quality may suffer. Tomorrow he may perform quality, but quantity may suffer. So he is not in the process line. So there is a process set by companies. Follow the process and be into that. When you do that, you'll be setting realistic goals, which is achievable. Right? A little push is important, but you can't do something which is inordinate. Right? The last one is to help organization identifying employees for motivating, training and developing. I've given a feedback to Sachin. These are your strengths, these are your weaknesses. Sachin has got a potential in him. Underline the word potential. Potential means what? He's got the capacity to do better than what he's doing today. That is potential. Every human being has got a capacity to do something better than what he's doing. That is potential. So I tell Sachin, this is there in you. You've done this, but this is a thing. It is not a weakness. It is there in you, buried somewhere. You're not pulling it out. So I have to give him a guidance. And I tell Sachin, do this. You have to push it out of a system, because when you bring it out of a system, you'll grow higher in the organization. And that is what is called as motivating, training and developing. And then I went, sent him to a development workshop where the developing trainer like me will bring out the best in him. He said, come on, Sachin, do this. Sir, I've never done this before. I said, well, how about doing it for the first time? Then I have to motivate him. I have to give him some beautiful factors which will make him feel happy to do it. And he does it. And gradually when he does it, he starts feeling good about things. All of you agree? Whenever you do something for the first time, it makes you feel good, right? So he's doing for the first time as an adventure. Then I start pushing him. I start coaxing. I start, giving more motivation, encouragement. And then when he comes out of the developmental workshop, he says, wow, I never knew I could do this. And then he does it. He goes back to the office and the office is a new Sachin. Now that is what is supposed to be the one of the functions of performance appraisal, right? Now, taking it further, to help supervisors to observe subordinates more closely and coach. If I'm conducting a performance appraisal on Sachin, then I have to observe him closely. That's the purpose of doing that. He is my asset. I'm delegating work to him. And when I see him closely, when I start monitoring him, I give him feedback. my relationship with him grows in a positive way. And then what happens is I'm in a position to coach him because I've got more experience with me. Same thing happens from me to my senior above me. It's coming top down, right? To provide inputs to system of rewards and salary administration. Performance appraisal is a part of performance management system. I know that Sachin has performed to this extent. He has given this much out of output, this attitude, etc. Now he needs to be rewarded. So a performance appraisal system sets the tone, sets the foundation for rewards and salary administration. It tells the HR people that this is where he needs to be promoted, this is where he needs to, he deserves this. Okay? Now I want to again caution you, the purpose of performance appraisal is not for rewarding, for giving increments. No. Increment term is something which you're entitled to every year because of the cost of living. But what I'm rewarding him is for that extra effort, for that extra push which he has taken up and done something. I would go to the extent of telling you, as a trainer, I'm an advisor for a few companies, wherein a person must have exhibited a new behavior, but he hasn't produced tangible results. His new behavior has not brought about a result which is giving, showing in top line and bottom line in terms of tangibles. But so long as I see him as going in the direction of the behavior, I would still reward him. Now, few companies do this. Companies reward you only for tangible results. They don't reward you for your transformative behavior. They don't reward you for the efforts you have taken. Efforts are invisible. Results are visible. So people normally do this, which again is an error for a person who's developing into a new area. If I put you in a new area of working, it'll take some time for you to produce results. Agreed? And so I need to have a system in my PMS which rewards you for the developmental work you're doing. Right? Take a R&D, research and development in a pharma company. Somebody is sitting on a development of a molecule for a new drug. It takes 4, 5, 6, 8 years sometimes. Do you mean to say that only if the drug comes, I'm going to appraise him and saying that he's successful? No. Efforts have also to be appraised. And efforts are intangible. Okay? The next point is to improve organization development by identifying people with promotional potential and pinpointing developmental needs. This comes under a very major area called OD, organization development, a subject by itself for the HR people. I'm an OD consultant, OD trainer, wherein I go to organizations and what I do is the whole organization needs to go through a churning. The whole organization needs through a change process, and whenever change takes place, our behaviors have also to change. Our behaviors also to become new performing behaviors. And that is an OD developmental thing which we need to do, right? To generate significant relevant information about employees. Significant, important information, relevant, which is meant for the job, to employees. It should be available to them. Who is doing what? What sort of progress is going through? Where is the scope for improvement? The person goes through a complete understanding about where he's standing. Very important, right? There's a transparency in short. The key components of performance appraisal. In a performance appraisal, what are the things we need to cover? Key performance areas, KPA. I have already spoken about it in the earlier chapter. Key result areas, KRA. KPA becomes KPI. Key performance areas means, for example, my key performance area will be the delivery of this lecture on the video. So my key performance indicators will be the measurables. How well I do it, in what amount of time, what sort of topics I'm taking into account. Maybe these are some of the parameters we are writing down. Do I take examples? They're the key performance indicators to the key performance area. Key performance area, key performance indicators. But key performance area comes because of key result areas. I have to produce the results. What's the result? Majority of the people who are watching this particular video should be seeing it and they must impact them. That's my key result area, KRA. From the KRA comes KPA. From the KPA comes KPI. Three terms to be understood. All the three terms are to be understood properly. KPI is a measurable, KRA is a broader area, and KPA is where you're going towards a measurable. Right? Task, targets, objectives, attributes, qualities, traits. These are the things which we look for. There are a number of attributes. They will put together. Self-appraisal is very important. Many companies have got a self-appraisal form. They give you a form before this appraisal date is there, and then you have to fill it up and you have to write down what have you achieved or not achieved. Now that is exercise puts you in a realistic scale. It makes you feel, yes, This is where I'm accountable. This is where I'm not accountable. And you cannot talk in the air. You have to be very realistic. After a self-appraisal form, when you fill up, you start realizing where you stand. And that makes you more realistic with the goals that are given to you. Self-appraisal is a beautiful initiative taken by many companies. They ask you to fill up a form. After you fill up the form, there's a process of going and sitting. I'll talk about it later. Right? Performance analysis. We analyze the performance from different aspects. Behavioral aspects, achievement aspects, attitude aspects. So many aspects we look at. Okay? Performance ratings. Ratings are given. Rating means, where do you stand on a scale of 1 to 10? Are you 9? Are you 8? Are you 8.5? Now, this rating by itself doesn't mean much. Except the rating tells you that on a comparative scale, you are somewhere good. You are among the best employees. You are an average employee. Not just performance of metrics, measurables, but overall. Your attitude. Your attunement with the company's values and vision. Everything is falling in place. Then you are a good employee. You are on a scale of say 8.5, 9 or 10 or whatever. Right? Performance review, discussion and counseling. Review. I review your performance. What went wrong? What went right? Last year, you promised that you'll make 1,000 units. How come you made only 850? How come you made only 900? How come 500? So pathetic. What went wrong? I fell sick. I didn't get the proper support, etc., etc. Did you, when you fell sick, did you tell this to people why you fell sick? How many days of downtime it was? Fine. What did you do when you came back? You said you didn't get support systems. Did you speak about it to your seniors? Many times people speak about things only during appraisal, not during the intervening period. If any of you are doing this, stop it. Take the initiative when things are not working in a manner in which your performance is allowed to be performed. Talk about it to your boss there and then. You have to open the communication channel with your boss on a day-to-day basis whenever you are having an issue. Don't talk about it the last day and start crying because your performance will get affected. It is a day-to-day thing. So all this is done under the review. And then discussion of counseling. Now, what sort of help do you need from me? I'm your senior. Do you need to go for a training program? Do you need that? You need a different way of working? So these type of counseling is done by the senior. Now, when I'm saying all these things, remember one thing. Between the senior and the junior, it is assumed that there's a beautiful relationship. You know, many times I've seen people say that, oh, boss is boss is supposed to be a villain. And boss and junior, they don't get along well many times. There are various things that come in the way. If you're a junior, remember one thing. The boss is depending on you for his results. Look at him as a person who will feel glad when you give him what he wants. The boss has to also remember that if he ill-treats his boy, if he tries to dominate him, if he tries to control him, if he tries to tell him that I'm the boss, then the boy will not do a good job. It's a two-way traffic. Both of them have to come together at human terms and work on a level playing field. It's very important. Fortunately, modern organizations are adopting this policy wherein the bosses and the subordinates are working as a team, one-on-one. When I started my career as an engineer, almost 3 decades back, we did not have this system. We had a boss who was really a boss. He told and we did. We couldn't question him. But today the climate has changed. It's pretty good. Right? Make the best of it. Now, another 3 points. Identification of training development needs. I know I've given a feedback to my subordinate. I've given him a review. And then I say, okay, this area, you need a developmental thing. You're good in your work, but you're not a team player. So team, I want to make you a team player. So I'll send you for a team development workshop. Identifying that, right? Rating assessment by appraiser and reviewer. I want to rate and appraise you also at the same time by the appraiser, that is me and the reviewer. Both of them may be the same person or they may be two different people. Potential appraiser. Now, it means the person who's appraising his own potential about whether he's skilled enough to appraise or not is also important. Just because I spent 20 years in a company, I may not be a people person. I may not be a people person. You know what I mean by people person? People person is a person who deals with human beings every day. When I deal with human beings every day, what happens to me? I understand human emotions. Agreed? I understand human behavior. I'm dealing with different types of people. So my people skills, which is the backbone of an appraising process, is very high. So I will be in a position to appraise you better. As compared to a person who's a senior person in the organization who has been senior, and because of seniority, it doesn't mean he can appraise you, because the human side of it is absent. He's an introvert. He's not talking to many people. His job function, he loves to be on his own. So he doesn't have much of insights about human beings. As a behavioral trainer, I always insist that at whatever levels you go, learn to be networking with people. Learn to understand others' behaviors. Don't be in a cocoon. If a cocooned manager who doesn't deal with people at all, he starts appraising you, you can imagine what happens to the appraiser. He can appraise you on the metrics. On the measurables, anybody can appraise you. But on the behavioral part of it, you need a person with an experience in behavior to appraise you. Always. Okay? How to measure employee performance? Next point. How to measure an employee performance? Some points are given here. Let's try and understand. Evaluation of punctuality and absenteeism. A very common point. Being punctual. Being on time. Now, being punctual, some people do it stupidly. They come 2 hours earlier, 1 hour earlier, just to be on the safer side. They are afraid of being late because they are afraid of being punished. Punctuality doesn't mean that you have to be too early. Punctuality means you must develop a behavior wherein you are being able to design your whole activity in such a way that you come on time. Simple. Today's session, for example, started at 10 o'clock. So 10, I'm supposed to be here, 10 a.m. Okay, I made it a point to see that after doing all my work, I'm here at 10 o'clock. Much before me to set up this whole thing, my colleagues were sitting behind the camera. They've come much before that because they have to be on time to see that when I come here, we start the session. Very simple. Two of my colleagues are helping me doing this. We are a team again. Now, this team cannot work unless and until we have this type of punctuality thing. And what is absenteeism? Being absent once is not absenteeism. In my HR book, I've written it. Being absent once is not an absenteeism. Absenteeism is a pattern of behavior. When a person has got this pattern of frequently or periodically remaining absent, there is an emotional crisis. In my book on industrial psychology, I've written this. The emotional crisis means the person, something is affecting him or her in his personal life. Something is going wrong. Or at the workplace, something is not happening. It is a distasteful workplace for him or her. When you find that your inside is not very content, is not satisfied, it is dissatisfied, then you will, at the slightest excuse, you will leave the company, you will try to take a chutti, a leave. That is absenteeism. So you observe a pattern of a person. If the absenteeism is more, then you know that there is a problem. His performance will come down because he is not mentally engaged with the job. You know, we talk about employee engagement. Employee engagement means what? When I am loving my job, I'll feel like coming to on time. When I come on time, my absenteeism will be zero because I don't have any issues with the job. And when I'm coming here on time, I'm punctual, I love my job, my performance will automatically go up. Simple. Now, this is not happening with many people, unfortunately, today. People are doing jobs. They don't make careers. They don't look at the larger picture. This gentleman behind the camera who's shooting me is a young lad, young chap. Now, I would expect him to know the larger picture of why he's doing his job, which he's doing pretty well. Now, he is shooting me. And he has to know that by shooting me, this video will come out very well. And this video will reach hundreds and thousands of students who are doing distance learning. Now, if he gets this in his mind, then he will do this job, not just as a shooting job, but as a part of a larger picture. Is that important or not? It's very important. Every person, at whatever level he is, should understand that he is a part of a larger picture. I'm a part of a larger picture called the distance learning course. I'm a part of the larger picture of giving education to so many people who are miles and miles away from this place, geographically, who are invisible to us. Now, if I see that, then I talk to you, you can see the essence of my talk. Right? And that is exactly covered here. Poor attendance can be due to now. What are the poor attendance? They have given some list. It could be because of health issues, lack of motivation, employee burnout, wrong attitude, job dissatisfaction, poor work environment. All this I've already explained one way or the other. Right? Now we go to the next one. Quality of work. How to measure employee performance, quality of work. Is the work carried out timely? Is the work average or outstanding? Are the employees putting in maximum efforts? Are they having positive mental attitude? PMA, we call it, right? Do they understand the personal performance objective? Do they exactly know what they are supposed to do?